Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Leo Laporte. Episode 51 for January 10th, 2009. Curl. This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show that covers open source computing in all its glory. It's all its command line glory. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is from Stonehenge.com. Our hero, Randall Schwartz.
Hey, Leo. Good to talk to you again. This is great. Command line. I'm sure it's because you're going to be referencing our upcoming guest, but open source isn't just about the command line.
No, of course. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, Smalltalk clearly is not about the command line. No. I've got a lot of stuff going on in Smalltalk these days. Yes. So it's, you know, definitely a lot of stuff there. And, you know, and my Perl buddies are still bumping on me a little bit to do some more Perl work. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of that coming up soon, too. Maybe even teaching some Perl classes at the upcoming OSCON and a few other places. But, you know, that and some Smalltalk classes. I should be really, really busy coming up soon.
Wow. Yeah. Well, what are we doing today? Oh, wait, before I do, I want to ask you about your arm.
Thank you. Thank you for
asking.
I want an
update on the arm.
I had a sleepless night 2 nights ago.
I don't want that much information.
I got this. Well, it's related to my arm. I got one of my physical therapists gave me, Trish, I think is her name. She gave me this purple, like, silly putty to get my strength going up in my fingers.
Oh, you talked about that. You kind of need it.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, I spent like an hour needing it on Monday afternoon. And Monday night, my arm was on fire.
Oh, no.
And so I got a sleepless night. I had pain all the way Tuesday. I couldn't do my normal exercises Tuesday with it. So I went into my, you know, with my head hung low to my therapist on Tuesday afternoon. And I said, I can't get anything done with my arm now. I don't know what's going on. So anyway, yeah, but, you know, it comes and it goes. They gave me a new device that will actually apply rotational pressure to my arm to try to get it so I can do palm up. Because right now, if you could picture it, I can go like with my thumb straight in the air, straight up, down to my thumb sort of facing to the left, and that's the only rotation I've got so far.
Actually, for the right, it takes a long time to recover from something like can you believe it? All you did is trip.
I know, and you're recovering from now on.
But
what's great is that I'm getting my strength back. I picked up a 2-liter bottle just sort of the other day, grabbed it with my left hand and picked it right up. And I went, I guess that's working so far.
Good.
It's coming along. I'm still having a hard time typing though. I mean, with the problem is I can type for about a half hour to an hour. And then just the bouncing of my left hand up and down is really a mess. So that's okay. I'll get better. And thank you all. I've gotten condolences notes and stuff like that. Thank you guys for writing me about my arm, staying sensitive to it. It's just because it is a real pain. So, and I appreciate when people say thank you. I really do.
Well, we do. We know you work very hard and you've put together another great show for us.
I'm loving this show coming up. This ought to be really cool. So I have used the curl command line tool for a really, really long time.
Curl.
It's the quickest way that I know to take a URL on the command line and say, put this file that's at this location here in my current directory. I use this stuff all the time. And there's also a component to it, which I haven't used directly, but we'll definitely have to ask our guest about it, called libcurl, which is the same functionality, but in a way that you can get to it with other bindings, like a Perl binding or a Smalltalk binding and so on. So there's ways to talk to libcurl. So we have with us today the actual author of Curl and Libcurl, Daniel Stenberg.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to meet people who are working on projects that we use day in, day out. It almost feels like infrastructure, you know. I mean, it's such basic stuff.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, let's get him on the line. Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. And where in Sweden are you?
In Stockholm.
Fantastic.
The capital of Sweden.
Now, I don't know about this time of year, but Stockholm is so beautiful in the summer. I bet it's a little colder in the winter.
Oh, yeah. It's all white and frosted these days.
That's neat. Now, I have a theory, Randall, that you know, many open source projects begin in the frozen north of Scandinavia, that all of that time during winter when you have to stay inside really encourages programming. Is that true, Daniel?
Yeah, I think so. All the long periods of darkness.
Exactly. You might as well. What else are you going to do?
Maybe stay warm by the glow of the power supply. Your machine. Yeah,
exactly. So how long have you been doing curl?
Slightly over 10 years now. Wow.
Randall and I were talking before we called you about all the different ways we use curl. Tell people what curl is, first of all, I guess.
Curl is a command line tool for transferring files back and forth, actually up and download, using the normal internet protocols like HTTP and FTP and all sorts of protocols.
Why would you use it instead of, say, FTP?
Usually you use curl to do something programmatically. Like you want to check that everything went fine,
right?
And stuff, and because it has a lot of different options to do it in a convenient way.
Well, that's what I was just telling Randall. I have an Apple script that when I actually goes to a text expander program. So I type I have a URL on the clipboard and I type ttrim. It calls curl, sends the clipboard URL to the trim URL shortening service, and then I get back, curl gives me back the shortened URL and then pastes it in where I typed, replaces that. And you wouldn't do that with, you know, that's the only way you could do it, on a command line, really.
Yeah, and that's the common way to use curl, really, to programmatically do things that you otherwise would perhaps use your browser for, the FTP command line tool, or any other UI-based tool.
And similarly, the FTP client is sort of chatty. You actually sort of have to first tell it the machine you want to go to, then change to the right directory, and then get the actual thing you want, maybe add binary mode or whatever to that transfer. And from what I recall of using curl, you just simply give it a URL with an FTP beginning.
Exactly. And for example, checking for errors is really tricky if you use the FTP command line tool to do it programmatically in a script or something like that.
So did you start curl? Was that your project to begin with?
Yes, it was.
And so what was the need? What was the need?
What itch were you scratching?
I
started back in 1997, and I was writing an IRC bot at the time, and I wanted to fetch currency rates from websites to present online. And I actually didn't find any tool that suited my needs. So I started writing my own.
Wow. And so did it start with a command line that's similar to the one today? Would I recognize the 1997 code?
No.
you started with libcurl. You didn't start with a curl itself, right?
No, actually, I started the other way around, because I started the command line tool, and then after a few years, I realized that a lot of people wanted to do stuff programmatically, so I wanted to do a library from the network code and offer that as a library to other applications.
That makes sense.
That's similar to the way that Emacs started out as being, the curses library started as being part of VI. And then they abstracted that out because other people wanted to do screen drawing applications, but originally it was all kind of embedded inside VI.
Right.
Same sort of thing, yeah.
So I had to kind of turn it inside out and offer a library that curl could use to do transfers, and then other applications could use libcurl to do the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. So was the first thing, though, being a command line, was it just simply you were passing in a URL and hoping to just get back all the rest of the text on standard out or something?
Basically that, yes. And then after a while, I then realized that HTTP wasn't enough to get the stuff I wanted, so I added support for FTP, and then I added Gopher.
Gopher. Well,
in the 90s.
Yes, it is.
It was kind of outdated already at the time I added it, but I think it was some currency rates available from Gopher back then.
And does it do SFTP, secure FTP as well?
Yes, it does.
Oh, really? Oh, that's neat.
And FTPS as well, which is kind of secure FTP too.
Actually, I'm on the website, which is curl.haxx.se, and I'm looking at the protocols: FTP, FTPS, HTTP, HTTPS, SCP, SFTP, TFTP, Telnet, DICT, LDAP, LDAP-S, and File. Plus, you support certificates. You've really added. You pretty much does everything but the kitchen sink.
Yeah, I think it's 13 protocols.
Wow, and Kerberos and a bunch of that's amazing.
But of course, we rely a lot on third party libraries.
Okay, yeah. So you're not writing all these implementations from scratch.
No, a lot of the underlying like SSL and SSH. Are done by other libraries.
Right, right. Is curl still in active development?
Oh, yeah. I think it's more active than ever, really. Strange enough.
So how does that work? Do you have like a SourceForge project then that manages this or what?
No, it's actually hosted by myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. That's really great.
It's really not a huge job to host this because I mean we're just a small team active developers. We're like 8 or 10 people doing commits,
right?
And we're just merging in patches from a huge amount of people. Then,
well, and most curl is one of those tools that most people already have, so it's not like people are going out and downloading. I mean, it comes with every distribution of Linux, it comes with OS 10. I mean, most people have it, it's just part of the operating system.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, therefore, don't come to us and contribute right. anything particular. It's just a command line tool that's there right. for most people.
Right.
But I think I saw in your FAQ, doesn't it say you're getting 1 million downloads a year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Roughly.
What? Well, I guess people are updating their tools, right?
Wow. Yeah, I think a lot of people update their tools, and a lot of people get the older versions with their distributions right. and Windows systems and stuff. So they want to get newer stuff.
How do people use it on Windows? Are they using, what are they using to do that?
The same thing.
Oh, there's a curl works. For Windows?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It actually builds for like 40 different operating systems and CPU architectures. So it's pretty much run on everything.
Wow, that's cool.
How many of those 1 million downloads do you think are done by curl itself?
you must know. You probably know that, right? It would say so in the logs.
Yeah, but they're really not that many, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Ironically enough.
You'd think there would be. Now there's another tool that I've used called wget. How would you compare curl with wget?
I'd say that wget is more focused on getting stuff recursively from web pages or FTP sites.
Like sucking a web page.
Yeah, yeah. And getting more than one file.
Right.
I mean, curl has no HTML parser, and it can't right. parse right. FTP directory listings or anything, so you can't really get many files.
You really basically use it to get one thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you extract it and you analyze it yourself with your own script, and then you get the next one.
Right.
But in wget's case, it's very good at getting all the files off a web page right. or whatever.
Well, right. Well, now curl has that option, which I find the most fascinating, which is the globbing, the fact that you could say, I want the numbers 1 through 999 in this particular part of the URL and fetch all 999 of them. Now, that's something that I haven't found easy to do with wget. So that is one really handy use for curl.
Yeah, I think that there are actually a lot of subtle, small differences between the tools that I think makes the difference why you picked one or the other. Yeah. But I really never made curl to be a replacement for wget because wget is a good tool.
Yeah,
and I think they do different things.
And also the -o to be able to say, I want yes. the file locally to be the same name as the URL's right. tail part, right. which is really, really handy. I mean, I don't have to think about the name, I'm restoring it locally. Or if I'm, you know, wanting to get 4 or 5 things, I just, you know, name them all appropriately. It all works out really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. When I'm writing a program or a script, I'll use curl. And when I'm on the command line, for some reason, I just tend to use wget. I guess you know, because I'm lazy. I just double get file name, and then I don't have to think of, I don't have to do anything else.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, I'm just lazy. Yeah. I don't want any. I don't do any command line switches. I just wget it.
Yeah, but I have curl space dash o space command v in my fingers.
So you're smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could even alias it. You know, I should probably just alias that wget, and then I wouldn't have to do it again.
No, I could type that so fast. It is an alias.
Dash v. What does dash v do? Verify.
No, command v paste. So I've gone somewhere and I've cut. Oh. I've copied a URL from some web page or I've done an option click on it and on Safari and I want to download it.
Right.
So I've got it saved in my clipboard. And so command V will paste
it
in.
Got it.
Yeah. Works really well on my Mac. I'm very good with that. And before the show, we were talking, Daniel, and one of the things I said is I also use curl. One of the things I like about curl is it shows the progress. And so I often use it to download something from the CPAN to test my local download speed to wherever I'm at. Because like if I'm on the ship, one of the cruise ships, for example, or I'm on an unusual Wi-Fi and I want to see what the download speed is
smart.
Real quick.
Yeah.
I say curl-o cpan.org/source/latest-atar.gz. And that's a nice 13 megabyte gzipped file. So it doesn't compress very well. And so I use curl to actually just watch the download speed, watch how long it takes to get started. And it's because it's got the download speed as it's doing the download. It's very nice.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. And curl also features the option W-W that can present a lot of different measurements and speed information.
What? No, I got to go try that. Hold on.
This is cool. So what curl will display, as you download it, curl does a little progress meter going across. And then it also says transfer speed, time left, that kind of stuff. But you can get even more granular information.
Exactly. That can get presented after the transfer. So you can get information for the name lookup, for the actual connection, and for different.
Here I go. Let's see if my connection goes out.
It's a nerd's dream come true. More information is always good.
that was wrong. Dash W negates the dash O that I had after it. Uh-oh.
Now what?
I got stuff all over my screen. Anyway.
That's something else. If you don't tell it where to output stuff, it outputs to standard out.
Yeah, that sucks.
Exactly.
Now, that's probably, though, a useful side effect. I'm sure people use that for something. If you wanted to read a text file, I guess you would just do that.
All right. Or if you just want to type it into another program to do whatever.
Right. It's like a remote cat.
Exactly. It's kind of the traditional Unix philosophy.
Yeah. Go with no output specified, standard out. That's why it's standard. Very cool. What other cool things do you know that people are doing with kind of maybe unexpected things people are doing with curl? You have a great page on the website with a whole lot of stuff. Interesting uses of curl.
Yeah, I think the most interesting stuff is done with the libcurl, the library that applications are made that do all these transfers.
Right. Like what?
And I think that's where all the major development is today is the actual library. Well, for example, the Adobe uses libcurl all over in, I think, just about every product they do. I mean,
really?
Flash and
so when you're viewing a Flash video online, it's curl that's getting the data.
Yeah, at least if you're not using Windows. I mean, Solaris and Mac OS and the Linux.
Interesting.
Versions.
That's neat.
And all sorts of other stuff. Google Earth at least used to use libcurl.
Were you a student when you started this project?
No.
No? So you just, you've worked on a lot of, in fact, I noticed you even worked on wget. You've worked on a lot of other open source projects.
Yeah, I've been an open source hacker for quite a while, and it came natural to me to just make this as an open source project too. And of course, this is like a lot of other projects. It wasn't meant to be this big or to last as long, or it just turned out this way.
It seems like a simple tool, just a simple tool, but there's always...
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And that's what I meant also, that it's the library that's the bigger part of
it.
Because making a library is a lot more work and a lot more tweaks, and people can use it in more different ways.
Right.
So they could use it to build, for example, a GUI around it, because I know that the curl is a command line thing, but libcurl could be used as part of some GUI then, right?
Yeah.
If I were going to write a browser, I'd use curl as the back end to get the data for the browser.
Yeah, I think WebKit uses it at
there
least
you go.
As an optional back end.
There
wow.
You go. Yeah, why reinvent the wheel? You've got something that knows how to get all these protocols automatically. Just do it.
Yeah, so there are, of course, a couple of browsers that use it, and there are all sorts of stuff that you don't really think about, like the Boink project that does all these distributed
right.
clients. They use it to download stuff, and it's usually made, I mean, applications today downloads data over the internet quite a lot, mm-hmm. and it's of course a matter of reinventing the wheel. If you wanna write an application that downloads something from somewhere, then it's handy to get an existing library that does it.
Do you see other? Yeah, sorry.
And I mean, libcurl is a handy library. It's been around for a while. It's fairly stable and it supports a lot of protocols. So it serves a lot of needs.
So what license is it that allows it to be used like that?
It's under the MIT X license, so it's very liberal.
And why did you choose that license?
It wasn't an easy decision, and I did change the license a few times in the beginning. But I think it fits my view on how to do things like this, and I want it to be possible for all sorts of applications to use the library. Closed source and open source and any kind of application.
You're not worried that somebody's going to just take it and fork it and never return the code back to you?
No, I'm not at all. I'd rather encourage everyone to get it and use it to their own pleasure. But I'm not scared of people getting the code and extending it and making something very good. I think it's good when people do that. I don't think it happens a lot that they, I mean, no, okay. I don't really have to put it, but no, I don't think that's it's a terrible thing.
So you said there's about 10 developers working on it. Do you get patches from like fully qualified patches from the outside community that you can then apply?
Oh, a lot. I'd say that we're about 10 people that commit. So we get, I think we get around 2, 3, 4 patches a week.
Wow.
And of course the quality varies, but we get a lot of good patches from people on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really great. And what do you use to manage? Do you have like SVN or CVS? How do you manage the sources for the 10 people that have commits?
We are still stuck with CVS.
CVS, okay, cool.
Yes.
Wow.
Which is funny because you've worked on Subversion, haven't you, Daniel?
Yes, I have.
So, what's the deal?
No, it's mostly because I'm stuck with old legacy systems all over. We have a pretty fancy auto build system that volunteers can participate in and automatically download. Curl from source code, build it and run it and test it and mail back all the results. And they run on a lot of different machines all over, but many of those are really old systems and they have CVS and not so much the more modern and newer version systems.
And you're probably not so worried because you're probably not doing a lot of forking with only 10 committers.
And
CVS goes bad, yeah.
Exactly, and there's not a lot of parallel development. It's basically a single branch, and this the head.
How
so
do you
we
manage?
We haven't seen.
Sorry.
I'll continue.
How do you manage then deciding which patches go in? Do you have like an email or an IRC chat that you guys are on to kind of figure out, okay, this is a good patch, it should go in, or do you have different areas of responsibility amongst the 10 of you, or how do you do that?
We're basically a very small group, so everyone has, I mean, they can do play by their own ear, so they can, everyone has the judgment to commit a patch if it's good. Oh. And if it's not good, people can just comment on it on the mailing list and put a review or just say that this isn't suitable or whatever. So it's really low-key.
Yeah, great. So this is all in C, I presume? C, C++, something?
Yeah, it's all C, traditional C89s.
I like that. This is 2 weeks in a row we've had people working in C. None of this object-oriented crap.
Now, okay, now, for you, Daniel, Vi or Emacs?
Emacs.
All right, there we go. Said that with definitive verve. No, why not Vi? What's wrong with Vi? Oh, you probably have all these bindings, don't you? All these keys. You know, you got it so customized, you just can do it in your sleep.
Yeah. It's all that Emacs Lisp and the stuff.
Yeah.
You get used to it and then you're stuck.
That's right. You're hooked.
Do you have a version of curl that runs inside Emacs then?
Well, I know there's a couple of different Emacs things at least that uses curl.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't use any of that in particular myself.
That would actually, but that's a good example of how curl would really integrate well into a program. You're in your text editor, but you want to get a file to not have to leave the text editor and be able to use, you know, get a file right away would be very handy. And that's where curl could be very useful. Yeah.
I think some of the tools, I think like the Tramp system that allows you to have remote file names edited locally, I think that uses curl to fetch the files, at least some modes of it. But it uses the curl command line, not the lib.
Yeah, I've seen things like that.
Yeah, cool.
So you worked on Rockbox. Did you know Randall, he worked on Rockbox?
Yes, that's actually how we ended up bumping into him. So when we did the Rockbox project, Daniel was sort of instigating some of that conversation. Right. And so Daniel said, well, as long as you want to talk about curl someday, that's how we got to Daniel.
Oh, neat. Oh, that's really neat. So you're one of the top developers on that, on curl, on C-Aries, on libssh2. You got a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah. I keep myself busy.
That's great. So, what do you do for a living? This is not a living, I would guess.
No. None of this is my living. Yeah. I'm a software developer, so I'm a consultant by day.
Cool.
Doing stuff for hire.
Sounds like somebody else I know.
Embedded systems.
Oh, really? Embedded? How interesting.
Yeah. Mostly embedded. C on Linux.
C isn't dead. Kernighy and Ritchie live. I know it's funny. I really have a soft spot for C. I don't know why. It's just a beautiful language to me.
Well, you can have those delusions. It's fine. I'm not going to talk you out of that.
Practically all of Unix is written in C.
So if someone wants to, has an itch that isn't currently scratched with curl, where would they go to get a hold of the 10 committers and all that? Is that clear on the website? Is that where people go to identify these things?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. We basically do all kinds of developments and questions and stuff like that on the libcurl mailing list.
Okay.
Because the project isn't larger than we can handle this. So most people just hang around a while on the mailing list to get to get familiar with the project, who knows what and what happens. And then you just proceed, get the code, do your changes, post your patches.
What's the most unusual request you've had for curl to do that you've denied?
I'm not sure. I tend to just forget the most unusual ones.
So there wasn't any really insane request that sticks out in your head
what
now.
What could be so insane? I mean, what could you...
Well, hierarchies of stuff, probably. You probably get that request over and over again. Why can't I just give you the top of a tree?
Right.
And that's, of course, some kind of a frequent request.
To which you respond, learn Bash, you moron.
No, I tried to be.
You're probably tempted to, though. You know, if you knew how to command write in a command shell, you wouldn't need to do that.
Right.
But that's the Unix aesthetic is that the tool is simple, basic, but it gives you the ability to combine it with other commands.
Exactly.
Yeah, and make something even more powerful.
I've drawn the limit with the actual content of the data. So curl never fiddles with the data.
Good. Yeah.
It doesn't parse the data. It doesn't alter it in any way.
Yeah.
And given the prevalence of libcurl, what kind of security issues have you uncovered over the years, or actually I should say, have other people uncovered over the years that you've had to respond to?
It's written in C, so it's the typical kind. That's mm-hmm. buffer overflows. But
yeah,
luckily, I should say, we haven't had that many.
Well, it's not bad.
I think I have a count. Trying to find my web page on it.
Because I would suspect, though, that, you know, as embedded as it is, though, I mean, if somebody could find a buffer overflow error in libcurl, that could really be devastating.
Yes, because it affects a lot of software all over in embedded systems and in different applications. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, you don't even know that the applications are using libcurl, so you won't even know exactly mm-hmm. which applications that are vulnerable or not. Mm. But we haven't had any security issues since, July 2007.
Oh, that's good. How many lines of code is it? I mean, it seems like it can't be that big.
No, it's not that big. I think we're below 100K.
Yeah, yeah.
But it depends on how you count, because we have a lot of test cases and a lot of... test suites and stuff like that. So,
and of course, you're calling a lot of libraries for a lot of that stuff too.
Yes. So, yeah. So it depends on how you count.
Right.
I mean, which line.
But assuming that the libraries are clean and the test cases are not in there, it's probably not a whole lot of code to look for things like buffer overruns and so forth.
No.
Yeah.
And of course, we have a lot of test cases and we have a lot of automatic testing done nonstop. So, hopefully we don't introduce any major things along the way either.
So have you kind of grafted test-driven programming onto C so that do you require a test for every new routine and so forth?
We want to do that. I can't say we're that strict, so it's a kind of a goal.
Right.
But
and Randall's been teaching me about that because I'm learning Squeak. Mm-hmm. And of course, C didn't come from that heritage. It's much older than that. So actually, it's not older.
It's actually newer.
It's newer, come to think of it. Isn't that funny? It feels like Smalltalk's old and brand, you know, much newer than something like C.
Yeah,
but it's not.
It isn't, though.
So
do you have curl and libcurl? Is there any other of the language bindings that you're responsible for in your small team?
No, we try to... to all the language bindings, which, by the way, are quite many these days, they are made and maintained outside of the actual curl project.
How much interaction do you have with the people that are doing the language bindings? Are they just participate on the list like anybody else?
Actually, I tend to have zero contact with those guys.
Are they not very nice people?
Careful, Leo. We may want some of those on the future guest list. So.
Surely you're not recording this, are you?
No, it's just us. I would never say anything like that in public.
No, absolutely not.
But more seriously, that's mostly because these guys don't contact me. I mean, they just write up a binding one day and they offer it to the public. They usually don't even tell me about it. I just happen to stumble upon a new binding.
Isn't that cool, though, that it just works like that?
So the documentation must be pretty solid, then.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty solid, and it's been a pretty solid API also for quite a number of years. So,
have you ever had to do something that was not backward compatible?
Yes, we've done that a couple of times.
What was that like?
A lot of people complaining.
You broke my curl.
Exactly. So we tend not to do that too often.
Well, I'm thinking about Python and what they've done with Python 3 and how they've just said to the, you know, how difficult that must be to do that in a well-known, well-used, well-established open source project to say, we're going to change everything.
Similar to Perl 6, same problem.
Perl 6, that's been a real problem, hasn't it?
It's just been Yeah, it's been a problem. Yeah. That's for another show.
Yeah.
Wow. This is just, it's great that you have been able to continue to contribute to this for, you said 10 years now, right? So this is just an amazingly long lived and it's just one of those little things. You know, Curl is so nice because it just gets things done that I need to get done. And it just happens to be hanging around. And it's really fun to be able to talk to, you know, people like yourself that have really done well with these projects and gotten things to help the rest of us out.
Yeah. And it's spread quite well. I mean, you mentioned macOS before, and Curl is nowadays in just about every Linux distro and all over. Mm-hmm. So of course it's fun to see that. I mean, it suits people.
Yeah, it must be neat to see it go into kind of consumer operating systems like OS X. Then you really know you've made it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's an acknowledgement that it actually works.
Yeah, I use it all the time. I really do. It's kind of fun. And a lot of times, you know, when you're, well, I mean, it's used programmatically, but it's used in the command line. And when I'm in my web server and I need to get something, I'm not going to launch a browser in my web server. So I use Curl and I'll download it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the easiest way to do it. Well, we're so glad we could talk to you, Daniel, and thank you very much for creating such a useful tool for all of us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Yeah.
Great. Very cool.
Really appreciate it. Daniel Stenberg is the creator of Curl and libcurl. And the website, if you would like to download a copy, and use Curl, because it really is much nicer when you do that.
Unless you don't already have it, then you'd have a problem.
Yeah, you need to bump my stats a bit.
Exactly.
With the Curl downloads.
It's like Ouroboros. The utility that eats its own tail, curl.haxx.se. And is there anywhere else? Like, is there like a, I mean, I'm looking at Man Curl and there's a lot of information there, but is there anywhere like Curl tips and tricks or anything like that? Has anybody written a book on Curl? The definitive Curl?
Well, no, I don't think there is a specific book, but it's mentioned and explained in several books.
I'm sure any sysadmin book or a Unix book is going to have to talk about Curl.
Yeah, and those kind of Unix
books. Curl the missing man.
That's what I was thinking. I'll talk to David Pogue.
Get Pogue to do a book on it. That'd be right up there with Echo, the missing manual.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, it's great to talk to you. Thanks, Echo, the missing manual. I just got it. Thank you, Daniel. Just please ignore Randall and me for that matter.
Well, most people do.
Yeah. No, it's really great to talk to you. Thank you so much again. And stay warm.
Thanks for staying up late, because what is this, like 11 o'clock your time?
Yeah, soon midnight.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for staying
up. The good news is it's the land of the midnight sun. Oh, wait a minute. No, not right now.
It's the land of a lot of darkness.
The land of the noonday darkness, yeah. How many hours of daylight are you getting right about now?
We're getting light at around, I think, 8:30 or so.
Not bad.
Until, I think it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon now.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. Well, happy...
But it's getting lighter now.
That's right. We're on the way up. Happy... And I was in Stockholm... around the 4th of July, a couple of years ago. And it's just great because when you get that sun, it was so beautiful. The summer in Sweden is so gorgeous. And everybody's outside just soaking it up as much as you can. It's really, really was fun. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Daniel Stenberg of the Curl Project. And I'm sure I'll be able to hang up on him any minute now. I can't figure out how to hang up on you, Daniel. There's a button here somewhere. Too many windows. If this were a command line, I would be able to figure it out. But
use Curl to hang up on them. There's got to be a way.
It's that silly Skype. I don't. I can hang up on you, Randall, but I just can't. Oh, there it is. Okay. Thanks, Daniel. See you later. Bye bye, Daniel Stenberg. I love Swedes. I'm sorry. I just have to say that they're just
individually or as an entire country.
As a country. Well, you know, I should have asked Daniel about this, but. When I was there, one of the things they said was that a college education is available to anybody in Sweden who wants one.
Wow, free. That's incredible. That's free. Really forward thinking.
Well, and it makes for a different society where you have, I think it's just it's a really great society. The only negative, all that cold weather and short days. That would kill me.
We went in the summer on the geek cruise that went there. Luckily, because it was we went to Stockholm.
Oh, you were there too.
Yeah, right.
It was that Baltic? It was the Baltic cruise.
Yeah, the one that went to Russia. Yeah,
that was fun.
Incredible cruise. That one really. We've got a Baltic coming up, I guess, next summer. So hopefully,
really
go there. Or maybe it's the summer after. I know it's there's some talk about and
China's this summer though, right?
Yes. Okay. Then must be next summer.
Must be 2010. I've been talking to all the people who I've been trying to. I talked to Sal Segoyan of his new AppleScript book. AppleScript 1-2-3 is finally out after 10 years. And I said, Sal, come to China. And I said, talk to people. Anybody who wants to come to China with us. I don't know if it's sold out yet or not, but go to insightcruises.com. Mm-hmm. It's Mac Mania 9. It's July 3rd through the 10th. I'm doing the land portion of China. Then 10th through the 18th is the cruise.
Yep. Yep. It should be really fun. I'm looking forward to it too. And we'll get Andy on. He's going to go to that paper place he wants to go to.
Right.
Was it Mac Break he talked about? Yeah, right.
He wants to go to a Japanese stationery store.
And since you brought up the cruise, I am doing the podcast for the cruises. And I just wanted to say that, since you had such a raving things to say about Iriflato, the next show I'm putting on the podcast.insightcruises.com feed starting next weekend will be Iriflato talking about why airplanes fly, a modern myth. It's should be a really good show. I actually saw it live, so we'll be putting that into two or three parts.
What a good lecture.
It's incredible, and he did a great job about presenting. And unfortunately, you don't get the visuals, but luckily the audio, as I'm listening to it, is clean enough to be able to deliver the thing. And he's such a smart guy, such a brilliant guy, really good presenter for random science topics. So that'll be in the podcast stream. Podcast@insightcruises.com. I've got to put that plug in since you brought.
So, what is the myth? What is the myth that airplanes fly because
it turns out the Bernoulli principle doesn't apply for all the reasons that they've said it applies for all these years. It's actually not Bernoulli that lifts a plane. It's not. It's the fact that
the differential in pressure between the top of the wing and the lower.
No, that's really not it.
It
turns out. Maybe I shouldn't spoil it. Maybe
you
should go.
Got to listen to the podcast. Now you got me.
Yeah, well, listen to it. It's really incredible.
All my life I've been taught that it's a differential in air pressure between the top of the wing and the bottom of the wing.
And so have everyone else. And if you pay attention and then you say, great, then why are stunt planes able to fly inverted?
Upside down. It wouldn't make any sense.
Exactly.
I didn't think they could fly upside down for very long.
No, well, they can. And this is really what the
So it's not the camber of the wing.
That contributes, but you have to understand what's actually happening. And I'll give it one word, and you can kind of use that as a lead-in. But listen to the lecture. It'll be, like I said, in podcast at insightcruises.com starting this weekend. The operative word is downwash.
Okay, I've heard of backwash, but I don't know what downwash is.
So I'll have
to listen to the podcast. Wow, yeah. You've got me intrigued now.
So actually, the show we're taping right now goes live on Saturday. The cruise show that goes live 2 days later on Monday will be the first of, I think, three parts. I'm not sure whether it's going to be three parts or four parts, depending on
Very
the length.
Good.
So,
Very good.
So that's really cool. And speaking of upcoming shows, talking more about Floss Weekly, I have now filled out the entire February calendar as well as January. So let's talk about what's coming up. Next week, looking forward to this one for quite a while, Ben and Casey from the MIT Media Lab talking about a programming language
Ben and
called
Casey
processing.
Affleck?
No, these are different guys.
Oh.
That is funny, though. Isn't
Would be
it?
Funny. Yeah, it's the same name. MIT's Media Labs, those are good. That's amazing, these guys.
Yeah, so we're talking about a language that lets you specify like images and sounds and coordinate them and make beautiful audiovisual things, interact with it. It's kind of a C-like language. I've been playing a little bit with it, but obviously we'll find out more next week as we talk to them. I've got Chuck Sapirsky and Hian Huang on the Fog cloning system coming up the week after that. So we're going to talk about how to ghost your drive using an open source tool for that.
Oh,
And I'm sorry last week, when you asked me about MAMO, this was Quim Gill, the next guy up following that.
Yeah.
And I said it was Nokia, so it's just Nokia's tablet OS.
You know what? So, I found that out because Colleen brought in her Nokia N800 and said, this is what's running MAMO, not the phone. It's not the phone system. It's
so I apologize not having a Nokia phone. We didn't know the difference. But
So they're still using Symbian. This is for their tablet. And actually, it's really a nice OS. It's really sweet.
And so we're speaking to him actually from, Finland, where Nokia is.
Yeah.
So we're actually speaking to him. So he's going to stay up late, too. He loves that, though. He says, no problem for the show. Following that, next week after that, is John Rezig, who does the jQuery toolkit.
Oh, so that's really good.
We did UE about a year ago, the Yahoo User Interface Library, and this is jQuery. It's a similar arena. It's how you build really interactive applications with JavaScript. It should be really, really fun playing with that. We've got David Chisnell and Quinta Mathi, who are working on the Etoile system. Now, we talked about web objects? No, what was it? Next Step, OpenStep, right.
Yes.
So this is, OpenStep was the framework.
For web objects.
Etoile is an entire retail user interface, an entire OS. So it would be the equivalent to OS 10, but all open source.
Wow.
So looking forward to that. That's coming up. We've also got Jonathan Marshall and Scott Davila on XBMC, the media player.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's the Boxy, it's the antecedent to Boxy.
So this is going to be great talking with those guys. And I'm really looking forward to this, but unfortunately, it's all the way down at the end of February. Aaron Newcomb, David Brittle, who work for Sun, talking about ZFS, the file system.
Now, that's big news because Apple's going to include it in Snow Leopard, but it's...
Exactly. Yeah. So we're timely on that one for sure. And I'm really looking forward to that because I've been playing with ZFS off and on the developer level for quite a few months now. And it's just... It's the next generation file system, and I'm really happy to have them confirmed.
What are you using it on?
I'm just playing with it now because it's not totally integrated yet. I can't boot off of it. Until I can boot off of it and a few other things, it's not going to be anything for production use.
Right.
But I've been playing with it. And I also want to know why it's not good to put it on my Drobo. So this will be an interesting conversation to find out from them why I'm not supposed to use that on the Drobo. So, great shows lined up. Again, twit.tv/floss will give you a link to where the upcoming shows are. I also tell you how to reach me in case you want to suggest some things. But again, I'm not taking any more suggestions where it's just a project name. But if you see a project there listed and you have a contact address, please write me with that. If you are one of those projects and are the person to contact, even better, because then I don't have to do the first or second round of conversations. But I'm having a great time filling the schedule up, putting people on. And, the conversation we've had so far have just been incredible, and I'm hope to keep the level up all the way through. And I've got hopefully enough people to cover the rest of the year even already.
Excellent.
Should be really, really cool. So
I'm very excited. You've just done such a great job with this show, and everybody I know who listens to it really appreciates the work you're doing. So
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity. This has just been, like I said, getting to talk to people like Daniel today this is a tool that I use like almost every day. And I'm getting to talk to all these wonderful developers and people that promote these things and understand why they wrote them and why they're open source. And it just sort of helps me get a better perspective of how important open source is now to really having everything work. It's
absolutely.
Just really nice.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very cool. Sir, I appreciate your great work, and I am glad. Are you you're feeling a little better, and you're rip roaring and ready to go?
Exactly, and looking forward to the show next week, Leo.
All right, Randall Schwartz, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Floss Weekly.